tassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi Talk a little bit around meditation. It's always good from time to time to refresh one's memory around just both the kind of purpose of meditation as well as the kind of practical aspect of method, technique. I think it's important that we, that the meditation is kind of alive for us. It can be fairly easy for us to say practice meditation for some time and then it starts to become mechanical or kind of lacking heart or lacking a sense of real interest. And if that happens, then it's hard to maintain one's effort or to really gain a sense of penetration in the practice. One tends to just sort of skip along the surface of what the mind is doing. So to really recollect for each of us to try to recollect and see what was it that drew us to meditation in the first place. What was the interest? And how to maintain a kind of enthusiasm and interest in the practice. So if I think back, what was it that got me interested, and it was really to just try to understand my own mind. It seemed so just impossible all the time, just having a mind that was out of control. And I'm sure we all feel that way. Just thoughts and feelings and moods and impressions and being swamped by them. And really feeling a need to have an understanding of how to, what the mind was, what the heart how to be able to understand it and to not experience this constant levels of either confusion or chaos, so that and that sort of, you know, is a theme, I think, that it continues to be a part of what the what practice is, and over many years, there's the practice has its sort of peaks and its valleys, and but there's an increasing subtlety to that understanding. And there's an increasing subtlety to the confusion. It's not as if it's just sort of you get one sort of insight or something and then it's all gone. It's just sort of insights and increased understanding of what the mind does, and then also what one still needs to do, so that the use of meditation when I teach meditation, I tend to emphasize the mindfulness of breathing, and there's many, many different styles of meditation, and people can they're all mostly valid, and you can extrapolate from any particular technique and you apply it to another, so that whether or not one uses meditation, the breath meditation oneself, one can still use the basic principles and apply it to other types of practice. But the breath, I feel, just is very useful, because it's kind of an intermediary experience between the kind of the body and the mind. It's a way to tune into the body, but also to experience more clearly what the mind is doing, the mental states that we experience. There's a say an advantage to using the breath, in that it's it's always there. One doesn't have to use one's imagination all that much to conjure up a visual image or try to create any other kind of object. Is something that is always, that's there. The breath is always there. The breath can be can be experienced in either on a coarse level or a refined level. Sometimes the breath is pretty can be quite coarse, when one if one's got a cold, then of course it's not very refined. Or if one's experiencing strong mental states or strong emotional states, sometimes the breath will be quite quite ragged or quite 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 strong. But then also when the mind starts to settle down, the breath can become very refined, very subtle, and it takes a lot of attention to sustain mindfulness, sustain awareness, which is good. With that increased level of need for awareness, then we actually have to cultivate the skills to maintain awareness, maintain mindfulness. So using the breath, bringing the breath into the mind, into awareness, and putting the mind on the breath. It's going both ways. This sense of balancing the awareness, bringing the mental faculties onto the attention to the breath, and bringing the breath into awareness, this sort of balance. And and it's important to sort of get it just right. If the mind is going ahead or just anticipating the breath, then there's it's not in balance, and sort of the mind is leading and it's not just being present. Or if the breathing is happening but the mind is lagging behind and sort of dawdling and sort of getting caught in proliferating, fascinating little sort of scenarios of stories, then of course it's not present, it's not aware. So that getting that balance of putting the breath, bringing the breath into awareness, putting awareness onto the breath, just getting that balance, getting it just right. And sometimes with an image like that of the breath and the mind, and it's, you say, well, how do I do that? But it's quite if you take something a bit more basic, there's one teacher gave a lovely image of in the same as eating. You bring the food up to your mouth, and you put your mouth on the food, and if you miss, then it makes a mess. And you know when you don't get it. Put the food behind you or something. And it's obvious you don't do that. And most people don't do that. But with the breath, putting the breath meditation into the mind, it's a bit more subtle. But it's also, you start to recognize that, God, I missed it again. With the mind wandering off, and then it's not with the breath again. So if one was doing something basic like eating, then it would be very it's not even very efficient. So it's bringing that an object to the mind, and bringing the breath, trying to get that that feeling of just right, getting that balance of attention, being present with the breath, and then sustaining that quality of being present. Because that's, say, unfortunately, the most of our life is sort of is not present. We're kind of we're off into the future, anticipating, worrying, speculating. Or we're dragged back to the past in terms of either second guessing ourselves or either getting caught in regret about the past or being sort of caught in the nostalgia of what was pleasant and what was good. So that we're not actually experiencing the present moment. And that's, say, with that simple exercise of bringing attention to the breath gives us an opportunity to gain more skill and ability to stay present with what we're doing, and this is helpful. It's also important to not take that logic too far, in the sense that you can't think anything about, you can't plan anything for the future, and you can't rely on your past experience at all. That's sort of an extrapolation which is not helpful either, but it's being mindful and aware and attentive that one is sort of, say, necessarily trying to say plan something or think through something, but being aware of that, or reflecting on some experience in the past, then one is trying to using it so that it's informing the present. That's one's developing a skillfulness in using the experience that we've gained in a way that is helping us to live our lives in a way that's bringing more happiness and well-being. So that when we say don't get drawn out into the future, don't just get stuck in the past, it's also an attitude rather than an absolute thing, but you're trying to bring attention even when you're reflecting, using the future or the past, but you're making it alive in the present moment through awareness and attention and wise consideration. So that use of the breath is giving us an opportunity to recognize for ourselves what are the ways that we can recognize more clearly, more quickly when the mind is wandering, when the mind is getting caught in something that is not really beneficial for our sense of well-being and happiness. And that's just starting to really tune into the breath as as the means for cultivating that awareness. And so it's using the in-breath, using the out-breath, really staying with the sensation of the breath. And making it very clear, not forcing the breath. This is one of kind of the themes that comes through in Buddhist practice, is seeing things as they truly are, is sort of a basic insight that is the doorway into liberation. Being able to see things as they truly are, and so that seeing our physical body, seeing our mind as it truly is, seeing the world around us as it truly is, not because we're usually viewing things through the filter of our moods and feelings, our biases, our likes, our dislikes. We're viewing the world through the bias of our fears and our worries. So that it's being able to see things as they truly are, and learning to just, with that simple activity of breathing in and then breathing out, just seeing, experiencing, say, one in-breath, just as it is, not manipulating it, not trying to control it, not getting worked up into a desire of how one wants it to be, or how one thinks it should be, because it's just a breath. It's amazing how what we can do in terms of trying to so hard to make the breath be, say, a certain way, and trying to the different ways that we, the mind starts to get swept up and trying to, so many people come and they say, I just can't do this breath meditation. And I say, well, why? And they say, well, it just seems so difficult. Can't stay with the breath, or the breath doesn't seem to be how it should be, and as if one gets worked up into a whole degrees of worry and concern or expectation, and all you need to do is just sort of the breath starts to come in and you pay attention, and then as it ends, and then the breath goes out and you pay attention, and that's all you have to do. Of course, it isn't that simple, because our minds are so complicated. But that's the point of it, is starting to see more clearly what we add to the present moment, what we add to our life, what we add to the circumstances around us, because that's actually the problem in the world, and with ourselves. If we were able to see things as they truly were, see things as they truly are, we'd cease to be creating problems with things. But that's exactly the problem, is that which we add to things, the whole momentum of the additions we put on our life. And it's hard to even see anything without or experience anything without just seeing it, without coming from some sort of desire or some kind of expectation or some sort of worry or fear, even if it's just really subtle. We see something really enjoyable, and rather than just say being present with it, enjoying it, and then we want to possess it, we compare it to something else that we've experienced, and then we judge it whether it was good enough or bad, or not quite good enough, and the mind goes on and on like that. So just this sense of seeing things as they truly are, bringing that up as a theme, and then using the that meditation is really trying to develop that skill in recognizing the tendencies and habits that the mind has, and then also that we don't always have to follow. We don't have to follow those habits. We don't have to follow that condition. We don't have to be swept up into it. We can just come back to the breath. About bring attention to the in-breath, to the beginning of the in-breath, to the middle of the in-breath, to the end of the in-breath. Watch the out-breath begin, follow that, be attentive to it, and watch the out-breath come to an end. It's just simple activity. Cuts through so much of the habit in the human condition for creating suffering and confusion. When I first came to California, there was a bumper sticker that was going around. Having a wonderful time. Wish I were here. which is exactly it just was great, because we're actually okay. We are having a wonderful time, and we're not really present for it. So that what we add to things is the problem. So to recognize, and that's where when it's taking something as simple as the breath, just that simple sensation, a simple experience, simple rhythm of the breath. It has a tendency, the breath on its own has a tendency to calm the mind, and just watching that simple rhythm is very helpful for calming, for settling. As we tune into that rhythm, the simplicity of that rhythm, the sensation, a neutral sensation, and the breath is neutral, then we can start, recognizing more clearly the movement that goes on in the mind, the different pulls, the pushes and pulls, where we're leaning out of balance, not able to stay in a place of equipoise and balance, attention to the mind. So that we can see that more clearly. So it's like having a clear screen or a clear window, and then being able to see things through it clearly. Or just like living in the forest here. And so you've got, say, nicely swept paths or something, and you can see it when there's snakes there, when there's centipedes there, when there's different animals there, and you're not stepping on them. It's just makes things a whole lot easier to see things clearly. And so that seeing that what we add to our experience, one of the first teachings that I understood from my teacher Ajahn Chah in Thailand was sort of illustrating that point, and he was asked by a lay person who came to the visit, what the central teaching of Buddhism was, and he picked up a stick nearby, and then asked the layperson, "Is this a big stick or a small stick?" The person was taken aback because he didn't ask about this. He asked what was kind of the central teaching of Buddhism, and Ajahn Chah said, "Well," he said, "you see, this is just a stick." He says, "But if you were looking for something to build a house with, then you'd say, that's just a small stick. But if you were, if you're looking to pick your teeth, then you say, well, that's a big stick, So that's, so every instance, things are conditioned by our desires, our preferences, what we want, what we like, what we dislike. But in reality, it's just a stick. So that in so many ways, our life it's just what it is. But we're always reacting to it from a particular position of either wanting or not wanting, of liking or disliking, approving or disapproving of it. And if we're not really turning our attention back to the source of where that movement's coming from, those preferences, those desires, those worries and concerns, then it immediately gets projected out, and we believe in it, and we go, our life goes up and down and gets pulled around and around because of that. So this using the meditation to really cultivate a place internally of attention and awareness, of clarity, that is bringing to the fore the sense of just seeing things as they truly are, being willing to not leap to an immediate conclusion about experience, or to be drawn into an immediate reaction. Because it's it's usually not well understood. And one doesn't, this isn't, you can't say this is really the heart of wisdom. And wisdom isn't a knowledge or a particular set of facts and information that one applies to situations. It's a quality of attention, it's a quality of awareness. So that to using the meditation to hone this skill of attention and awareness, and then we can respond to the situations in our life in a way that is really conducive to a sense of peace and well-being. And it's essential. It's really a necessary part of another opportunity that we have. Let's not offer that for our reflections.
Mm-hmm.